When I was a kid, well, I still am a big kid, but very much fascinated with sleight of hand and illusions and people who can escape from stuff. So I think that stuff's really cool. And I'm going to have Mark Weber come up here. Mark Weber is not a professional escape artist. You should know that. I'm going to handcuff Mark, and we're going to give him an opportunity to get out of the handcuffs. If I had an opportunity to dunk him head first in some water, I would have anchored his feet, put him in quicksand. I couldn't, so we're just going to do the handcuffs. Once again, Mark is not a professional. Oh, by the way, please don't try this at home. Handcuffs. Here we go. Yeah, at one point when I was a younger man, I used to be in law enforcement, so that feels kind of natural. Okay, how about we count to 30? Okay, Mark, turn around here, face them, and I'm going to give you, ready, we're going to begin at 30, and after 30, then you're done, but you get an opportunity to try to escape, beginning now. One. You can go louder. Once again, that's Mark's attempt. He's not an expert. Give him a hand. Notice there was no pressure. He wasn't underwater. He hadn't been buried alive. Nothing like that. Just regular old handcuffs. And he still couldn't get out. But now let's take a look at a professional. Okay, I'm going to show you a videotape of a young woman who her name is Christine Johnson, and she is the premier woman escape artist in the country. And she decided that she was going to escape from one of Harry Houdini's oldest tricks, the water torture. So she, during a halftime show, she attempted an escape. We're just going to see what happened. And that was the professional. Okay, and as you can see, she had a very bad day. I was watching through the YouTube clips, and they show, they also talk about her being interviewed, and she said that when her husband tapped on the glass to give her the sign, are you okay? She couldn't recognize that because there wasn't enough oxygen going to her brain. And so she just remembers trying to get the cuffs done, and then she woke up outside thinking that she had completed the escape, and yet she did not. And so the idea of escaping from stuff, there's always peril and danger. But one thing we do here at Mosaic is that we like to do some cross-talking. So really quickly, if you have a story where you've escaped from something, like to hear it. What do you think? Anybody out there ever escaped from something? Not like that. Yeah, that's kind of a dramatic there. When I was a kid, I had a cousin. I still do. His name was Lance. We used to tie each other's hands up, and we'd try to bite through the rope. We'd try, like, we'd put twine on. We'd bite through it. We'd put duct tape on and bite through it. I mean, we'd put all types of things on our wrists and just kind of bite through them. Thought that was kind of a neat deal, trying to escape or biting through things. This morning, I want to spend a little time talking to you about the greatest escape artist of all time. Now, escapology is the art of escaping from restraints in the confined spaces. An escapologist, also called an escape artist, escapes from handcuffs, straitjackets, cages, coffins, steel boxes, barrels, bags, buildings, fish tanks, and a combination of elements that are extremely dangerous. Now, normally these are done under extreme conditions like being underwater, being tied upside down, being placed in an exploding coffin, being buried alive. So it's kind of a sense of danger to these things. Now, there are three main rules when it comes to escaping these things that all escapologists know. Number one, the escape must be death-defying. Okay, people have to believe that you could die if you don't escape. Sitting around in that tube for over, I mean, it's very impressive. She was in that tube for 4 or 5 minutes. But how about 3 days underwater like that. I don't think she'd fare too well. Number two, impossible conditions. The combination of elements put together make the escape impossible. So it's not just being handcuffed. It's being handcuffed from behind. It's not just being tied up, but it's being tied up and lifted upside down and dipped in water. And number three, the most important rule is this. You never, ever attempt to perform an escape that you cannot do. Okay? So the second greatest escape artist of all time is Harry Houdini. Show of hands, you ever heard of him before? Once again, here comes the piece where you get to talk. What do you know about Harry Houdini? That is correct. Anything else? He says he was born in Wisconsin. He lived there. He was raised there. And he needed to escape. My wife, who is from Green Bay, Wisconsin, wouldn't appreciate comments like that. Oh, that's right. We have another person from Green Bay. Go Packers. Okay. Now, Harry Houdini was born March 24th, 1874, in Budapest, Hungary. His father was a rabbi. They moved to Appleton, Wisconsin, so they could support his family and a better life. He started his career doing sleight of hand by the age of 17, but he was never quite satisfied with what he was doing. He wanted to do something bigger and better all the time. So he took like a week's worth of salary, moved to England. In 1900, he had his big break. He got tied to a pillar in Scotland Yard. He was able to escape. By 1905, he was a household name. He was an international superstar by that time. Literally, he was the Michael Jordan of how to escape out of stuff. There was no one better than him. Shortly after his fame, his mother died. And that really messed them up. And he started looking into the occult and the spiritual and crossing over and even looking at mediums to how can I communicate with my mom. Unfortunately, he got upset because what he found were a bunch of phonies and fakes and frauds. He became so well known for his tricks, his escapes, but also him debunking or saying, no, you're a fraud, to where he even testified at Congress. This is what he says. He says, please understand that I'm not attacking religion. I respect every genuine believer in spiritualism or any other religion. But this thing that they call spiritualism within a medium intercommunicates with the dead as a fraud from start to finish. In 35 years, I've not found one genuine medium. Now, rumors about his death vary. Basically, he died of a ruptured appendix. But before he died, he knew that people were going to be coming out of the woodwork saying, we've heard from your husband. We've heard from your husband. So he gave his wife a secret word. He goes, when you hear this word, you'll know that I've been able to transcend from the natural to the supernatural. Then you'll be able to listen to that person. His wife died without hearing that word. Which moves us to physical death. Physical death is the termination of all biological functions that define a living organism. This is Genesis chapter 3, verse 19. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread until you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Moses declares in chapter 90 of Psalms, verse 3, oh, you turn men back into dust and say, return, O children of men. Physical death is a type of bondage that you cannot escape. You can work out, you can eat well, but eventually death will catch up to you. It will embrace you, and it will sweep you back to the dust of the ground. Now, physical death is not the same as spiritual death. Talk about spiritual death, we're talking about a complete separation from God. Wherever God is, that individual is not there. Ephesians chapter 2, 5 through 6, here's Paul talking. He says, he took our sin-dead lives and made us alive in Christ. He did this on his own with no help from us. Then he picked us up and set us down in the highest heaven in company with Jesus, our Messiah, When Paul's talking about this dead, sinned life, he's referring to spiritual death. Revelation chapter 2, verse 11. This is John here. Are your ears awake? Listen. Listen to the wind words. The spirits blowing through the churches. Christ conquerors are safe from the devil death. Like I said, it is my belief that Harry Houdini is the second greatest escape artist of all time. Now, the greatest escape artist of all time is Jesus Christ. Amen? Because he faced a different type of bondage. Okay? Coming back from a physical death is pretty impressive. Yes, show of hands. If you were to be like, if you were to die and then come back, that would be pretty impressive, right? Yeah. But here's the thing, though. I mean, Jesus wasn't the very first person to do that. I mean, you've got Lazarus, right? I mean, Jesus raised Lazarus. And so Jesus wasn't the very first person to die and then come back. So even though coming back from the dead is pretty spectacular, he wasn't the original one to do so. And that's no disrespect. It's just what it is. But what Jesus did, he was able to escape something else. Okay? He was able to break the handcuffs of sin. He freed himself from the chains of spiritual death. He was able to move back the stone of the coffin of the devil death. This is completely and totally something radically and something new. See, there's a difference between being the first person to do something to the only one that can do something. Let's take a look at the escape itself. John 19:32. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first man crucified with Jesus, and then the other. When they got to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead, so they didn't break his legs. One of the soldiers stabbed him in his side, blood and water gushed out. Now the chains are the bondage of sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God in the escape. 1 Corinthians 15:3-6. It's Mountain Dew time. I told you we were kind of laid back here. Go with the flow. Okay, the escape. The first thing I did was place before you what was placed before me empathetically. That the Messiah died for our sins exactly as scripture tells it. That he was buried and that he was raised from the dead on the third day. Let's go back to those three important rules of being an escapologist. Number one, the escape must be death-defying. People have to believe that you could die if you don't escape. Well, during the first century, if they put you on a cross, you didn't come off until you were dead. Okay, so I believe that's pretty death-defying in itself right there, yes? Okay. Number two, impossible conditions. It's the combination of elements put together that makes the escape impossible. It's not just being handcuffed. It's being handcuffed from behind. It's not just being tied up. It's being tied up and placed upside down. So, let's see. Being falsely accused of a crime you didn't do, being beat beyond recognition, nailed to a cross, left for dead, stabbed in the side, taken off the cross, wrapped in bandages, placed in a grave, having a roll, have a rock placed in front of it. I believe that that's pretty much a lot of impossible conditions right there. I think maybe one of those would have knocked me out from the very, my friends leaving me, I probably been done right there. So it doesn't take a whole lot to knock me down. And the third one, the most important one, you never attempt to perform an escape that you can't do. You never engage in one that you can't do. So when the escape artist, the man or the lady says, this is the very first time we're going to try this, that's not true at all. Okay, they might have tried other elements of that, but the idea of engaging in something that you don't know firsthand and you can't get out of is not a good idea. I think it's best to let Jesus speak for himself here when it comes to this. Here's what he says. This is why my Father loves me, because I freely laid down my life, and so I'm free to take it up again. No one takes it from me. I lay it down on my own free will, and I have the right to lay it down, and I also have the right to take it up again. I receive this authority from my Father who is in heaven. Of all the escapes that have ever been attempted, of all the escapes that have been successful, this one right here is the most significant one for you and me. Amen? We celebrate Easter because Jesus was able to escape the bondage of death, and his resurrection crushes spiritual death. John 11:25, you don't have to wait for the end. I am right now, resurrection and life. The one who believes in me, even though he or she dies, will live. And everyone who is believing in me does not ultimately die at all. Do you believe this? Remember earlier I told you about that secret word that Harry Houdini gave to his wife? Just do like this, because I know you're with me. Okay, that word was believe. He told his wife, you have to believe that I can do this. And even though she did believe, he still wasn't able to do this. Now, normally, this is the part where the pastor says, you need to give your life right now. Don't leave. Don't leave without making a recommitment. And if you don't know Jesus, you can know Jesus right here and now. This is the part where I'm supposed to say this, but I'm not going to tell you that. This is a journey. This is our grand opening here at St. Paul Mosaic Church. And I believe that walking along with Christ, whether you are starting out in the middle or towards the end, is a process that needs to take place in a community. We want to invite you back. Come back and let us minister to you within our life groups, our men's group, our ladies' nights, our Jelly Bean program. So if you're on that journey or you want to begin that journey, I'll just simply say, come back and see. God bless and have a great Easter.